Hey, Health Junkies, Dr. Krause here. Just wanted to jump in and let you know about a new feature that I'm adding to the podcast. It's the ability to ask me questions. I've had a ton of folks tell me that they would love for me to cover their questions on the podcast, so I'm going to do it. So each week, I will be adding a couple of questions that I'm going to answer to each of the podcasts. And if it's a juicy enough question, I just may dedicate a whole podcast to it. So if you're interested in asking a question, head on over to my website at drjkrausend.com. Check out a blue button on the right-hand side that says Ask a Podcast Question. Hit me up there. Or you can also access the button through my podcast notes also on my website. So head on over there, ask me some questions. I look forward to answering them soon. All right, let's get on with the podcast.
Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Janine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause, and today's episode is all about genetic mutations and nutrient deficiencies and their role in breaking your brain. So this is a third in a series of four in terms of podcasts that I have dedicated specifically to broken brains. In today's podcast, we're going to talk all about how genetic mutations can affect brain chemistry. We're going to talk about multivitamins and why everyone really needs one, because we don't get nutrients like I used to think we did. We got all the nutrients we needed out of our food. Yeah, doesn't happen. And I've seen it over and over again now with lab testing. And after 10 plus years of practicing, it's now clear to me that yes, we are not able to get enough nutrients out of our food. And I'm also going to talk a little bit about how processed foods can break your brain. And we're going to talk about why genetic testing should be done before taking any medications that might interfere with your processing of neurochemicals. Because if you don't know what's going on in the first place, and then you try to take a medication or even a supplement, you could do yourself some harm and, you know, cause some trouble, or nothing might happen. And that's okay too. It's just that a lot of these medications come with a lot of side effects. And, you know, if you don't have to do it because you can correct it with a nutrient deficiency or help, you know, support the body in a way that won't upregulate or downregulate a certain genetic mutation, then what the heck? I'm all for it, because now you don't have to take something that has a lot of side effects. So there you have it. So let's jump into what I see in practice. So typically, I'm seeing a lot of patients coming in and telling me, oh, I'm on such and such a medication for depression, but I'm still depressed. It's not working. Or I've got some folks who are considered bipolar and their medication's not working. They're still having highs. They're still having lows. They're still jumping back and forth between mania and depression. Now, I also have a lot of folks that are anxious, medications aren't working for that, and folks that have insomnia and having trouble in that department. And so all of these different brain health components here, or side effects of poor brain health, are definitely something to look into in terms of, are your neurochemical pathways working properly? So if I have a patient that comes into my office and is telling me, hey, you know, any of these things are still happening, such as the depression, anxiety, insomnia, or if they're feeling bipolar, I'm like, well, you know, in this case, if none of your medications are working, we need to go back to the basics and figure out what's wrong. Do you have mutations not allowing you to make proper amounts of serotonin or dopamine? Or are you making too much of them? Because that is also a possibility. So psychiatrists, primary care docs, PAs, nurse practitioners, even some naturopaths are not testing before they look into what they might give someone. Because, for example, a lot of people are like, you know, they come into a natural doctor and they're like, oh, I'm feeling depressed. And that doc's like, here you go. Take some 5-HTP. 5-HTP is known as 5-hydroxytryptophan. And this boosts your amount of tryptophan, not tryptophan, but serotonin production in the body. But say if you already have too much serotonin, well, now you're going to throw them into an anxious mania type of state. And you don't want to do that to somebody. So it's really important to look at the overall picture and go, okay, in the first place, is it that someone's not making enough neurotransmitters? So are there adrenal glands? So these are your glands that sit on top of your kidneys that are known for the fight or flight response, but they're known for that because they also work on making serotonin and dopamine, and they regulate those. So if your adrenal glands are not working properly, well, that's one reason. So if you've gone through a bunch of different stressors, like I mentioned in the first of this episode series in terms of how brains become broken. So if you haven't listened to that, I suggest go on back to that. Listen to that because I'm going to describe in that podcast all about how we end up breaking our brain. Because a lot of times we're not born depressed. We're not born with insomnia. We're not born anxious. It starts to develop over time due to a series of unfortunate events and stressors. And so the most key important component here is figuring out, why are you feeling this way? Not just taking a medication that's going to put maybe a Band-Aid on it or not do anything at all or make you worse for that matter. So I love to have my patients look at their saliva cortisol levels to know, okay, are the adrenal glands functioning okay? Are they working like they should? So that's one thing. There's a company called Labrix that I work with. There's also ZRT Labs where you can request your own kits and do it at home if you don't have a naturopathic doctor or a doctor who is savvy in helping with broken brains. So the next big thing that now that we have our genes sequenced, which is super cool, is that we can look to see what kind of genetic mutations we might have. So of course, most people have heard of 23andMe, which is the most popular genetic testing site on the market, which can give you great information once you take the generic information that they give you and you run it through something called the Genetic Genie or the NutriHacker. And the reason I mention both of these, the Genetic Genie and the NutriHacker, is because that information shows you exactly what genetic mutations you have or don't have for that matter. And it can give you guidelines in terms of, okay, if I have these particular mutations, how do they affect my brain health? The NutriHacker in particular is very specific for depression. So if you are suffering with depression, that's the one you want to do. So you do the 23andMe and then you go to the NutriHacker. Now I have links to all of these on my website at drjkrausnd.com where you can look at my whole summary, my podcast notes, and you can click on all the links to get yourself to the sites to get this stuff done if you're interested. So my big thing is that I really do this podcast because I want folks to be well informed about what to ask their doctors when they're struggling with certain issues. And in this case, this is the number one thing. Before you put on a medication to deal with your brain health, maybe ask your doc, like, hey, do you think that I can do some genetic testing? Do you think that I can do some cortisol testing first? Now, if that doc doesn't do that, that's fine. Do it first, then take it in and say, hey, look, these are my issues. Of course, you want to be going to someone who is well-versed in knowing what to do with saliva cortisol results and knowing what to do with genetic results as well. And folks are getting more and more savvy every day in this component. And so you're going to be able to find folks, no problem, that will help you with this if you are interested. So moving from that, another big thing that I see in practice is folks will take these medications, like let's go with a SSRI, like let's go with Lexapro. So an SSRI is a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. What that means is it blocks your body's recycling of serotonin, so it keeps serotonin, the happy neurotransmitter, high in your bloodstream. And so if you have sufficient amounts of serotonin that are being blocked and kept in your bloodstream so you can keep feeling happy, all's good. But if you don't produce enough serotonin, these medications don't work effectively for you. And so this is a big issue, and that's just one example. I'm going to go into more examples later on in the podcast, but it's something to keep in mind that, well, wait a minute, if you're not producing enough of these, then what the heck? What are you going to do? So my thought is always to have people look at cortisol levels to know how their adrenal glands are functioning, but then also knowing, do you make the proper amount of neurotransmitters? And neurotransmitters can be tested through urine. And we can look at serotonin, we can look at dopamine, we can look at epinephrine, we can look at norepinephrine. So those are your fight or flight hormones. You can also look at GABA and glutamate, which are your relaxing neurochemicals. So this is huge that we can look at these things now and know, okay, if I'm not making enough serotonin, then why do I want to take a SSRI, a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor? That's dumb. You don't want to do that if you don't make enough serotonin. Now, the next step is, okay, well, why am I not making enough serotonin? And that's where the genetic testing comes in. And it's also where the vitamin and nutrient testing comes in, because there are certain vitamins and minerals that we, our bodies use to make these neurochemicals. And I will talk about that a little bit later in terms of what those are and what you should be considering trying if you're trying to fix your broken brain. So another big issue, of course, that we have, and I'm kind of a broken record on this one, is that people are hooked on Frankenfood. And by that, I mean foods with artificial colors and dyes and sweeteners and stabilizers. And I've mentioned genetically modified foods, and I've mentioned pesticides. All of this trashes your gut. And if these things trash your gut and they irritate your gut, now they're going to subsequently affect something called the gut-brain axis. And this is communication between your digestive system and your brain. And along your whole digestive system lining, you have serotonin. You make more serotonin. 95% of your serotonin is made in your digestive system. So if your digestive system is whack, well, you're not going to make enough serotonin. So this is a big, big deal. And so for a lot of folks who have poor digestive systems, my first thing is you need to work on gut function. And I love to use the word psychobiotics, which sound like crazy killer probiotics, but really they're probiotics that are based on research that are specific for brain health. And I have a podcast all on psychobiotics. So if you're interested in it and you want to know more about psychobiotics, check my podcast out. I will tell you all about the psychobiotics. And I do have a link on the end of my podcast notes as to the two products that I recommend for that. And I'll go into it later on in this podcast. Now, another biggie that I see in my practice is I've got a lot of folks who are eating these fortified Frankenfoods and not realizing that all of our fortified foods, and by the term fortified, that means nutrients have been added to that food, iron, but also synthetic folic acid. And a lot of people can't process synthetic folic acid. It's estimated that 50% of our population can't process synthetic folic acid. So then what happens? Well, you eat this synthetic folic acid and it's going to block some metabolic pathways in your body. And in particular, it blocks your ability to make proper amounts of serotonin and dopamine down the way. It also blocks your ability to recycle vitamin B12 and produce vitamin B12 properly. It also can cause issues with toxicity, feeling toxic, because the pathway that is involved in not processing synthetic folic acid is a detoxification pathway. It's known as a methylation pathway. The abbreviation looks like a dirty word, MTHFR. So methyl tetrahydrofolate reductase. Now that is a $5 word for you. That one is the main mutation, but there's also something called MTR and MTRR. So if you're interested in thinking that you have some type of mutation because you're not feeling good when you eat processed foods, and first maybe you thought it was gluten, but now you're realizing, I don't know if it's that, take a look at mthfr.net. There's a guy named Ben Lynch who created that, and great guy who has some really great information. So if you're interested in those particular mutations, take a look into mthfr.net. Now, another biggie is we've got a lot of folks who are hooked on simple carbohydrates, refined grains, and sweets and treats. So all the simple carbohydrates and refined grains are going to boost serotonin. Now, you combine that with taking Lexapro, Celexa, Prozac, Paxil, Zoloft, any of those, and you're going to push serotonin levels higher. And so sometimes I'll see folks that are taking serotonin and a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, so an SSRI, or they might even be going the natural route and taking 5-HTP, which is 5-hydroxytryptophan, which is a precursor to serotonin, and it's a commonly used supplement, but sometimes it makes them worse. And what happens is that it's pushing their serotonin levels too high. Now, a lot of times folks will take their supplements when they're eating, and sometimes if they're eating a whole bunch of carbs, you can get a big bump in serotonin, and then later you get a crash. And so oftentimes folks will report having kind of sugar highs, and then they drop off and they get really, really down in the dumps. And that is a common, common thing that can happen. It also commonly happens if we push dopamine too hard too, because increasing our tyrosine, so tyrosine is an amino acid that helps us to make dopamine, while tryptophan is an amino acid that helps us to make serotonin. So amino acids come from proteins, so we have to eat those proteins to be able to get these. But the key component here is that with either tryptophan or tyrosine, if we eat too much foods that have these things in them, we do get symptoms of too much serotonin, not enough, or we have highs and crashes. I mean, just think in terms of tryptophan. If you get too much tryptophan in you and you push serotonin a little too high, think about Thanksgiving dinner and how you feel after that. Just, or even a big dinner with a lot of turkey. You don't have to even celebrate Thanksgiving. You're just feeling, oh, well, that's too much serotonin. So imagine if you do that to yourself day in, day out. So that's just one thing. The other side of this is the tyrosine. And if you get too much tyrosine boosted up, you can get a dopamine rush. And dopamine's great. You feel great in the moment, but when you crash off of it because your body sees you have a ton of dopamine, so it stops making more of it, and you get that crash, now we have a problem. And combine that with a particular mutation called COMT, and now we could have some very violent mood swings. And this is sometimes what I'll see in folks that have bipolar disorders. Now, one of the big things that I want to kind of talk about for a moment, because this is something I see in practice, is a lot of folks will get on a juicing kick, or they'll get on a detox where they're juicing a ton. And unfortunately, when we're juicing, strawberries, blueberries, apples, banana, I mean, these are all common ingredients in juicing and smoothies, they all boost dopamine. But sometimes they can boost it too far, and then we have issues with being able to break down all of that dopamine we have, and it stays high for a while. And then the body doesn't have signals, basically signals back to the brain say we have enough dopamine. So the body shuts down making dopamine for a little while, and then we have a huge crash. And so a lot of times I worry about folks who have bipolar disorder and going on juice cleanses and getting on smoothie kicks. Another biggie here is that chocolate, coffee, wheat, and artificial sweeteners all can boost tyrosine, which can boost dopamine, which is great in the moment, but it can cause us some mood swings where we get high feeling, we feel great, and then boom, huge crash. So something to think about if you are addicted to any of those things, chocolate, coffee, even the artificial sweeteners. And this is a biggie, because a lot of us don't really think about our connection with our food and our mood and what happens. I challenge anyone who does suspect that their brain is broken to do a food and mood journal. And do that journal for about a week. You will be surprised how much certain foods do affect your mood. Artificial sweeteners in particular, I've had some folks really report some incredible swings of being really high, almost mania kind of like, and then dropping down to depression-like symptoms. And then you go to a psychiatrist, you talk about this, you get labeled as being bipolar, and you're not bipolar, it's that your response to dopamine is a little off, and it could be because of mutation, it could be because of vitamins or minerals not helping you break down dopamine properly, or it could be due to your consumption of those particular items in excess. So something to think about, just food for thought, no pun intended, of course. So there's that. Now, the other big thing that I see is a lot of folks aren't taking multivitamins, and let's face it, I used to be in that category of thinking that I could get all of my nutrients from the foods that I eat. I really thought I could do it. And then I started testing myself. I started looking at my patients' tests. And it's common over and over and over again that there's a lot of B vitamin deficiencies. And B vitamin deficiencies are very common for multiple reasons. But one in particular is that we don't have enough good bacteria in our gut to absorb the B vitamins, because we need that. And that's one biggie. The other biggie is that we're eating foods that unfortunately don't have the nutrients that we think they should, because they've been picked, then put on a truck, then maybe an airplane. Because if you look at your apples, it might say it's from, you know, New Zealand, and you live in the United States. Well, that's a long plane flight. So who knows how long they were picked, then put in a cold storage, and then flown to the US. So slowly missing nutrients. The same goes for a lot of our other foods, and you don't know how long it's been sitting on that shelf and in the produce department with artificial lights and all that. And so, you know, unless you have your own garden and you're absolutely sure that your soil has a a huge amount of nutrients too, it's a crapshoot. So it's better to have some expensive urine. And I know that a lot of people think of multivitamins as expensive urine, and it's true. I kind of think of it more of as a safety net, but also because these multivitamins, and my favorite, by the way, is Twice Daily Multi by Designs for Health. And the reason it is because it has a higher level of B vitamins than your standard multivitamins. Plus, it also has folate in it versus synthetic folic acid. Big problem, because you just don't know if you have that mutation. You could always test and then you know. But the point being here is that multivitamins are huge because they've got vitamin B1, B2, and B3, which are crucial B vitamins for the processing of energy. And B vitamin 2 and 3 are crucial for making serotonin and dopamine. They're also crucial for helping with recycling of serotonin and dopamine. So I'll get to that in a little bit here in terms of specifics. But these kind of things are something that I want you to think about in terms of brain health. Now, I've already talked about the adrenal glands. And if they're under functioning, they might not be making enough of your neurotransmitters, because they might be bogged down if you're stressed. You could have toxins like heavy metals, things of that nature in the body. And when I'm talking about toxic heavy metals, I'm talking about lead, arsenic, cadmium. These things are common that I find on labs when I do these on patients. And it's because of cooking utensils. Usually, you want to have a good ceramic glazed pan, no Teflon, get rid of Teflon. Green Life and Green Pan are good companies. Extrema is another good baking vessel company to help to keep the toxins down in the body. The other biggie for ladies is your makeup, your lipstick. There's I think I read a report, 32 to 37, something like that, common lipsticks out there have lead in them. This is a big deal. And I see a lot of people with high mercury too, which yes, could be from your dental stuff, but also from makeup. So ladies, clean makeup. There's a lot of great companies out there. In terms of lipsticks, Axiology. Axiology is a great one. In terms of other makeup, Osmosis, Jane Eardale is an okay company. There are tons of them out there. I can go into that later. Gressa from Seattle, another great company. All right, I won't bore you with the makeups because there's probably some guys going, oh, I don't want to listen to this. So let's go into the details as to what is happening with those neurotransmitters to create a broken brain. So I talked about the medications SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Examples of these, Celexa, Lexapro, Prozac, Paxil, Zoloft. The problem with these medications is that they can lower your cortisol levels. And if you already have low cortisol levels because your adrenal glands are not working properly, then you don't produce serotonin. That's not good. So if you don't have serotonin being produced, how are you going to inhibit it and keep it elevated in the body? You can't. I've already mentioned that before, but that's a biggie to think about. Now, the other big thing with making serotonin is that you need tryptophan, the amino acid, first. If you don't have that, you're definitely not going to make serotonin. So you need to eat. That's number one. You also need to be able to break down proteins. And that is another issue with digestive stuff that I see with patients all the time, is that they're not able to break down proteins even in their gut. So now you're not getting tryptophan, which is amino acid, a breakdown product of a protein. So you don't even have the precursors to get started making serotonin. So that's one biggie. The other biggie is you need some iron. And a lot of people are iron deficient, even guys these days. And it's not because you've got some internal bleeding, it's because you're not absorbing it. That goes back to the gut bugs, that goes back to leaky gut, that goes back to a damaged digestive system. So you need some iron, you need folate, not folic acid, folate. Vitamin B3, vitamin B2, vitamin C, vitamin D, P5P, which is known as pyridoxal 5-phosphate. This is a precursor to vitamin B6. And many people are deficient in the precursors to vitamin B6. And vitamin B6 is huge for making neurochemicals. Another biggie thing to think about here in terms of vitamin D, because a lot of people are like, oh, it's sunny where I live. I live in California. I live in Arizona. I don't need any more vitamin D. Well, now we're finding, and this is the problem with learning all this about genetics, we're learning that a lot of people do not absorb vitamin D from the sun. That's a big issue. And so that too can cause some issues with mental health. The other biggie, like I had mentioned before, is folate, and having an MTHFR sounds like a dirty word. It's a methylation mutation. If you are lacking folate because you're not able to convert folic acid, you've got some issues. Now, folate is naturally occurring in dark leafy greens, so you can eat some of those, but I highly recommend working with a multivitamin because those dark leafy greens, you don't know if they've been sitting on a truck for however long by the time they got to you. And for all intents and purposes, you don't know if their soil had enough of the nutrients either, so that's something to keep in mind. Vitamin C. This guy's a biggie because we think about it. Oh, I'm going to eat, I'm going to drink my orange juice. I'm going to eat my kiwi, whatever, and I'm going to get my vitamin C in. Well, that's great. But like I said before, you might not be getting all the vitamin C from that. Plus, if you're stressed out, you are going to use more vitamin C. If you're fighting a virus, which most of us are at any given time, like right now, you probably have a virus floating around in your system that your body's attacking. If you have chronic herpes, so if you have chronic cold sores or if you have chronic other sores, that is a biggie. If you have genital warts, if you have warts in general, like plantar warts, that's a virus. You're chronically fighting that. You need more vitamin C. And typically, I'm recommending somewhere around 3,000 as your baseline of vitamin C. But honestly, you could need up to 8,000, 10,000 when you're actively fighting something. Here's the only caveat with vitamin C. Vitamin C is hard on the gut. And it can make you have diarrhea. So if you are going to load yourself up with some vitamin C and you're not getting it from a multivitamin, then sure, take 500 milligrams of vitamin C and divide it out. Don't do a big hit of 3,000 right at once or something of that nature. So just something to keep in mind about vitamin C. All right, so next one. If we are going to break down serotonin, so this is where we have issues sometimes with serotonin. We have an enzyme called MAO, monoamine oxidase. And this enzyme is commonly known to help us with breaking down serotonin. But if it's mutated, we can have some issues because it might not completely break down all the amounts of serotonin. It might break it down too fast or it might break it down too slow. You also need vitamin B2, B3, and iron to help you to break down serotonin. So once again, to make serotonin, we need the B vitamins and iron. To break it down, we need it again. And so now you can see where someone might have issues if they're lacking vitamin B2 or B3. B2 is known as riboflavin, B3 is known as niacin. These guys are absorbed through the gut. If your gut bugs are off, if you have leaky gut, if you have food sensitivities, if you're eating frankenfood, you might not be absorbing this just straight out because you don't, your gut's trashed. So something to keep in mind, it might not even be a genetic mutation. So this is why I highly recommend that folks look and see what their vitamin status is. The way to test vitamin and nutrient deficiencies is something called the NutriEval through a company called Genova. And if that's not possible for you because Genova runs their insurance and it's expensive if you don't use insurance, there is a company called SpectraCell and they do nutrient testing. I believe it's $390 still as of right now. And it is looking at white blood cell amounts of your vitamins and minerals. It's a great test. And SpectraCell is, you could order that yourself. So something to keep in mind there. Now, another type of medication that folks are often given is something called the MAOI, which means monoamine oxidase inhibitor. So this means that, remember I said monoamine oxidase, this prevents us from breaking down serotonin. Well, if you're going to inhibit it, you can't break down serotonin. And isocarboxazid, otherwise known as Marplan, and Parnate are common ones that folks are on. And so this can be tricky because monoamine oxidase inhibitors also affect dopamine. I've been talking about serotonin, but we also use the same enzyme monoamine oxidase to help us with breaking down dopamine, as well as epinephrine and norepinephrine. So then the problem becomes if you go to take that medication, what if you don't have sufficient levels of these in the first place? Or what if you have too many of these neurochemicals in the first place? So you're either going to upregulate it or you're not going to do anything if you don't have sufficient levels of serotonin, dopamine, And because dopamine helps you to produce epinephrine and norepinephrine. If you don't make enough dopamine, you're not going to make enough norepinephrine and epinephrine. Okay, so now another common medication that's out there, something called Wellbutrin, probably heard of that guy. It is a balancer of epinephrine and dopamine. So this could be a problem if you don't have enough dopamine being made because you take dopamine and you turn it into norepinephrine and then you turn the norepinephrine into epinephrine. So if you don't have the dopamine earlier on in that pathway, you're going to have issues in that case. So it's interesting because for a lot of people, I've heard them say that either Wellbutrin helps them or it does nothing or it seems to numb them out. And that numbing them out is as much of something that concerns me. So something to be aware of. Now, there's other medications that balance neurotransmitters as well. So a serotonin and dopamine balancer is Seroquel, Abilify, Zyprexa. I've had a lot of patients have some pretty negative stuff happen with Abilify and Seroquel. Abilify in particular, it's often given with Wellbutrin or given with another medication to kind of enhance the effects of the medication, kind of as your co-medication. What Abilify does is it enhances dopamine and serotonin signaling when needed, and it inhibits the signaling when there's too much serotonin and dopamine in the system. But the problem is, what if you ate a bunch of Frankenfood one day or a whole bunch of carbs one day, or you took a whole bunch of B vitamins in the form of, let's say, a FitAid, which is a drink. This is a drink that has B vitamins in it or any other B vitamin drink, and it messes with the regulation because I don't think there's, well, I know that there's no way that this medication can balance the serotonin and dopamine exactly. And I have a lot of folks who have had some severe mania and some very crazy things happen while on the Abilify and very, very depressed, psychotic depressed in some cases. So this worries me, right? And my biggest thought is, okay, before we give people these medications, let's make sure there really is a serotonin and dopamine imbalance. Or let's make sure that there's at least something there to work with. And that, by that, I mean the person's actually making serotonin and dopamine. Because all too often, I have a lot of folks that aren't even making serotonin and dopamine, and they're given Abilify, and they're given Seroquel, and now we have other issues that happen. So let's talk a little bit about these mutations that could happen. So COMT. This guy is a big one, and I know that I'm sounding much like a military person with my abbreviations, but COMT is a big deal because we need to have it to break down dopamine when dopamine gets too high. We also need MAO, the monoamine oxidase, and that we need to help us to break down dopamine too. And so dopamine's a big deal because if we don't have these two enzymes working properly, we can't break down dopamine, say if we have too much of it. Now, for example, someone might have one, like they might have COMT mutated, but they don't have the MAO mutated, or they might have both mutated. And it's hard to say. And unfortunately, with genetic, and this is a big caveat with the genetic testing, we don't necessarily know if someone's mutation causes that enzyme to go faster or slower. We have to basically look at their symptoms because you can't tell from a mutation what's happening. You have to link it with someone's symptoms. So for example, say you're someone who breaks down dopamine slowly, and you're on a medication that also slows down your breakdown of dopamine, you could have really high dopamine levels and then huge crashes after that. And that could be a huge problem for you. So this would be much like a mania and then a big depression, kind of a mania where you're on top of the world kind of thing and then down in the dumps really hard. So this is where genetic testing is huge to know what to do with these medications. And to know what to do with a mutation, because we get the mutation information and it'll say COMT and you have two copies of that mutation. So that means you're homozygous for that mutation. Well, that means that that pathway is inhibited, but you don't know what's happening, like what it actually affects. So the next step to put this together is you got to look at your symptoms and then piece it back. And that's why seeing a doc to help you with this is huge, because you need someone who's well-versed in knowing how to get around these mutations. Okay, now the other big thing is, say you have an issue with breaking down dopamine, but it's not because of a mutation, it's because you don't have enough vitamin B2, vitamin B3, the other biggie here, iron, and SAMe. Sometimes people have heard of SAMe in my practice for an antidepressant type of supplement. And the reason here is because SAMe is helping to break down dopamine. And so it's kind of leveling off one's mood. And it's used, antidepressant is also used for mood stabilization, PMS kind of stuff too. Now, I don't recommend that you go out and jump and just go buy SAMe. I oftentimes have people work on getting their multivitamins first. SAMe is S-adenyl, now my brain is going, but it's part of the methylation process in terms of recycling B12 and breaking down folic acid. And so I'm talking a little gibberish at this point because it's not something that I highly recommend folks focusing on first. You want to be focusing on the B vitamins first before you jump in the SAMe. That's where you get into needing a physician to help you, because SAMe can be tricky, and because it affects B12, it affects folate, it's in that process as well. And so this is a trickier, don't do it yourself kind of addition. But the B vitamins, totally helpful. Vitamin C also. So vitamin C, copper, and B3 also are needed to help to take dopamine and turn it into epinephrine and norepinephrine. And if we're looking at the breakdown of how these work, it goes from, you're going to go from tyrosine, that's going to get converted to dopamine. Dopamine gets converted to norepinephrine, and then norepinephrine gets converted to epinephrine. That's how that works. And so if you're kind of a visual person like I am, I have actually included a neurotransmitter breakdown, I guess you'd call it a neurotransmitter pathway reference sheet for you in my podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com, so that you can look at it and really understand what I'm talking about here, because right now it's probably sounding a little bit like gibberish. So all that being said, I've talked about these different mutations and how they can affect you. I've not gone into detail by any means. There's probably someone listening to this podcast right now that's like, well, I know about this and this and this. And yes, there's a lot more detail. I think my biggest component here is just helping with awareness that these medications that are going to help you to regulate your mood, you want to have some genetics component in here. You want to know what your genes are before you start taking these medications, because it might actually mess up your brain chemistry more than it will help your brain chemistry. And a lot of psychiatrists are now doing some testing called Genomind. It's Genomind. You have to go through a psychiatrist or a mental health care practitioner to get this genetic testing, but this is specifically for all of the neurotransmitters. And I highly recommend for anyone that's on medication now, considering medication, go find a practitioner, genomind.com. Go find a practitioner that can help you with this, because that website will lead you to folks that are doing the testing. And that way you know really what medication might be best for you, or you know, okay, if I have these mutations, perhaps these particular supplements might help me to process dopamine, serotonin, etc. Now, one of the biggies here is the MTHFR mutation. There's two types, C77 and then there's 1298. In particular, C77 is the biggie here because it can inhibit dopamine production. And what it can do, and I just said that wrong, it does not inhibit dopamine production. It inhibits dopamine breakdown, much like some of the medications that inhibit dopamine breakdown. And so if you are inhibiting your breakdown of dopamine, you're going to have an increase in dopamine in the body, which can cause mood swings. So this is something that I tend to really have folks think about why are you having the mood swings? Why are you really high all of a sudden, feeling really great on top of the world, and then why are you dropping down? It's not always blood sugar. Yes, sometimes it can be. It sometimes, you know, has to do with the foods you eat. But in particular, it could be an MTHFR mutation. It could be a COMT mutation as well. And sometimes folks have multiple mutations, such as MTHFR and a COMT mutation. So if you have both of those, now you really have a increase in dopamine in the body, and now you can get some really, really big highs and crashes. So the takeaway here that I really want everyone to get from this podcast is that we may be mutants and we may not. We may be mutants that just need some vitamins and minerals, or we may be mutants that need some medication, but the correct medication. And Genomind is a great way to go for that. Or 23andMe is just as useful, as long as you have someone to help you with once you get those genetic mutations back. Now, we may not have any mutations whatsoever, and we may just need some vitamins and minerals, or we may need to ditch our Frankenfoods as much as possible and take a multi, because you just can't get everything out of the food you eat. So the other big thing is that we may have low cortisol and adrenals that are not working properly because of high levels of stress for too long, or we may have really high cortisol and our neurochemicals are all out of whack, such as we have too much epinephrine and norepinephrine, things of that nature. So I highly recommend folks looking at their neurochemical status and their cortisol levels. You can do that through ZRT labs, or you can do that through Labrix labs. And it's great to know that as your basis in terms of, okay, do I have an adrenal issue? If I do, okay, I need to work on stress reduction. I need to work on getting my vitamins and minerals back. If you know that you have all of your neurochemicals low, and I see this with a lot of folks, in particular folks who have genetic mutations, sometimes I'll look at their lab for testing their neurochemicals and everything's bottomed out. This is when I use a formula by Designs for Health. It's called Neuralink. It combined with a multivitamin can help to fix that broken brain. But I don't recommend trying it just on your own. You do want to know if you have low cortisol, and you do want to know if you have issues with your neurochemicals. So best to test for why the brain is broken first. 23andMe is a great one if you have no psychiatrist on board and you've got a primary care doc who is well-versed in genetics. Testing and how to look at things. A functional medicine doc is someone else that you could look to for that. Genomind, if you have a doc involved that is doing the test already. Saliva, cortisol, and urinary neurotransmitters, huge, huge, huge to know what's up. Now, the supplement, like I mentioned before, is my favorite. It's twice daily multivitamins by Designs for Health. Or you want to be looking for a multivitamin with greater than 20 milligrams of vitamin B2 and B3. There are other ones out there. Also want to make sure that it has folate in it as well. And I do recommend getting tested for the amount of B12, folate, and iron, as well as ferritin. Ferritin's your iron stores, so that you know where you're at with your iron status. Now, if you really wanted to go into it, you can get total iron binding capacity, that's TIBC. But I think at this point, the basics will suffice to know if that is part of your issue in terms of the processing of neurochemicals. The other big one is hormone testing. Looking at your thyroid, your adrenal glands, obviously that's your cortisol component. But your thyroid is a biggie, because if the thyroid is not working properly, you're not getting enough of the most active form of your thyroid medication, T3. And I say medication, this is what your body naturally will produce in terms of tissue activity. It's called T3. That can have a lot to do, those levels of T3 can have a lot to do with what's happening in your production of neurotransmitters. So keep that in mind. Also sex hormones. So testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, those guys are biggies. And guess what? If you're wondering if that's an issue for you, I am going to be going into that in my next episode. It is my last in the series of four in terms of what to look at in terms of why your brain is broken. And this would be the last in terms of really putting together the whole picture as to all the different aspects in terms of how and why your brain became broken. So I highly recommend that you stay tuned for my next podcast to check that out. And if you're looking for more information, by all means, go to my show notes at drjkrausnd.com. Also, I've got that neurotransmitter pathway diagram that'll give you a little bit more insight into all of my gibbery jabberish I was going through with the processing of serotonin and dopamine. And by no means have I gone into all of the genetic mutations, because this would be like a 5-hour long podcast, because there are others. But I highly recommend starting at mthfr.net to get an idea of some of the biggies with methylation. And then perhaps in the future, I will go into more of these genetic mutations. But today I went into the big ones in terms of the most problematic genetic mutations related to brain function. So there you have it. You've survived another podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Kraus. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning into The Health Fix, the podcast all about taking control of your health, rebelling against aging, and having fun every day. A lot of patients ask me, do you think I'm aging too fast? So, I created an evaluation checklist for you to see for yourself. Plus, I created a resource guide to help you slow down the aging process right now. You can find it for free on my website, drjkrausnd.com. If you like this podcast, help get the word out to others by liking it and rating it. If you'd like more natural health tips and want to join our Facebook community where I interact daily, click on the join group button on our website at drjkrausnd.com.